Hey, everybody. It's me. It's Dan. It's the guy you're watching. I'm on the road, baby. May 29th through the 31st, I'm going to be in Appleton, Wisconsin at Skyline Comedy Club doing five shows. June 6th, I'll be at the Count Basie Center, Red Bank, New Jersey. Tickets are close to sold out. Please sell that out. That would be fucking really cool to sell that venue out. It's an awesome theater. And then Syracuse, New York, June 13th and 14th. I'm going to be at the Syracuse Funny Bone. That's Friday, Saturday, just doing four shows. So I'll see you up there. Maybe get a little fucking salt potatoes, whatever the fuck you guys eat. DanSoder.com. Tickets. First off, I'm bad with intros. I'm never going to do an official intro. I'm never going to do
that. I like that.
But sometimes I'm talking to people and we just get carried away in a conversation and people go, you didn't even say who this guy is. This is Steven Rogers. His special is on YouTube right now. Go watch him. He's fucking hilarious. Former building mate of Joe List.
That's right.
That's, I think, the best credit.
It is the best credit.
You had to see Joe List taking out the trash.
I'm the front of the building, so I could just see what hat he chose to wear that day.
That's great.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, that's fun. He was just in Wisconsin. He bought a Wisconsin hat.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people. I'm one of the few that I don't believe in wearing hats that aren't your team. I think it's a false indicator, and I've been put in positions, especially in New York, where you want to make a connection with a person based on the hat they're wearing. And then when they don't care, it hurts.
They're like, oh, I just had bad hair in St. Louis. So
this I bought a hat. Who was doing that? I was at a table read with Paul Giamatti.
Whoa.
And he had for billions. Duh. And he had a dolphin. He had a Dolphins hat on. My middle school friend, one of my oldest friends in the world, one of my middle school best friends, is the head coach of the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. So I walked up to Giamatti like, hey, my friend's the coach. And he was like, oh, I bought this hat. I needed a hat. And I was like, yeah, that's fuck.
This is why you don't do that.
This cool black dude on the train. I'm a San Francisco Giants fan. Yeah. So I always have my San Francisco Giants hat on. And this cool black dude was on the train with San Francisco Giants hat. We were like both standing up, you know? And he was like where the door was, and I went, hey, go Giants. And he went, what? And I went, go Giants. And he went, oh, yeah, the hat, it just matches the shoes. And I went, they do. like so happy for him. I was like, oh, my God, your people. That's why I said it. I go, your people are so good. Go real old with
this
the
is
races.
Now my stop.
I'm going to get off now. Because you people also have sharp knuckles. He just keeps saying stuff that he's like, well, now I have to get off the train and beat your ass, too. Where are you from originally?
Syracuse.
Wow. I'm going up there soon.
Everyone's a big fan of it.
I'm scared of that funny bone. No one likes it. I haven't worked it since I was like a middle.
Yeah. No one likes it. It's
Why don't people like it?
Well, it's in a giant mall that is never...
I'm used to that, baby. That's old hat.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think it's a comedy show unless I walk by an Auntie Anne's, unless I'm turning down hot pretzels.
I don't know. Well, first of all, it's the snowiest city in the U.S. It's often not doing great weather-wise. It's always overcast, even like in good weather. And I love it. And this is someone that loves it talking.
You don't have the accent.
I don't. You don't. I think have I have a little bit. No, I'm fine with not it.
I'm friends with Jessie Mae Peluso. Is the only other person I know from Syracuse. Yeah. She has a thick Syracuse accent.
Yeah, the A's are our giveaway.
Yeah, they're almost like Midwestern.
Yes, it's very Midwestern.
Yeah, it's not like I tried making fun of people from Buffalo about it, mm-hmm. and they got mad. They're like, we don't sound Midwestern. We sound, and you go, you sound Midwestern.
Yeah, we are Midwestern.
Yeah, because it's Western New York. Mm-hmm. People think, I foolishly, when I first moved to New York, I thought Syracuse was like
Westchester,
on the border, but it kind of, Buffalo's on the border.
Yeah.
How close is Buffalo to Syracuse?
2 hours.
Yeah. And you guys just love food that'll get you through a winter. It's the only way I can describe Syracuse.
You're very spot on.
Take those potatoes. Put meat with them.
Yeah. No one's vegan in Syracuse.
No, you can't.
We're not going to survive.
That club has such an awful reputation that I'm very interested to see.
Yeah.
You've never heard this, Pimp?
No.
Comics, no. And if you're from Syracuse, it's nothing against you.
It's not against...
And if you work at the club, I'm going to be there soon. If fact is, what a good time to plug my dates there.
I'm but there in I've December. Heard, if you
but
wanna...
I really, are you you're, yeah, you're there?
I'm headlining in December.
December. Come see the hometown hero. I will be there June 13th and 14th. My father's birthday, who's dead. So it can't get worse. Syracuse, it can't get worse. But I will be there June 13th and 14th. Four shows. I'll go Merrill, mm-hmm. Norm, and friends of mine that have came back and gone, what an awful experience.
So, like, I was a young comic in Syracuse. You know, you guys were people that I looked up to from Syracuse. If you came through, I was trying to be on those shows.
Sure.
Like, these guys from New York. They're hardworking comics. They're who I want to be. And every single one of them would just trash on my home club.
Oh, man.
And I would be like, apparently I'm in the worst club that there is.
Which is wild because Buffalo Helium is one of the best clubs in the country.
It's really great.
Shout out Sean, the general manager.
Love
there.
Sean.
Just the fucking best.
Yeah.
Same pose every picture. Comedy at the Carlson, Rochester, really New York.
Yeah.
Phenomenal club.
Really good club.
And I love that fucking club. Yeah. I get excited to go to Rochester. There was a blizzard one time I was in Rochester. Mm-hmm. I was very constipated. And there was a blizzard. And I was like, well, I'll just sit in the hotel and try to poop all night. And the guy was like, no, there's a show. You guys drive out for 3 feet of snow. So I need to find out because I feel like Syracuse deserves this.
I think it's better than the reputation it gives.
Great.
I think it's great.
That's all I want to hear.
I have a good time there.
And I feel like it's going to be a lot of my fans. These clubs, for those of you that aren't in comedy, a lot of times the small clubs get bad reputations because they're taking a risk on a younger comic that maybe doesn't sell tickets or a guy that's maybe in a downswing and they paper the room. Yeah. So they just... Yeah, you just basically give away free tickets to whoever wants to come.
Right.
Not a good way to coordinate an audience.
No.
Because then you're getting people who didn't pay but also feel privileged.
Yeah.
And the shows stink.
So I've never had to deal with that because it's my hometown.
So you have people come out.
Yeah. And then, when I saw, everyone we just mentioned, they weren't who they are now.
Yeah.
So I think if all those people went back, they would be pleasantly surprised.
Absolutely.
And I think you will, too.
I'm excited to go back. Yeah. There are times where you just I think in movies, in in biopics especially, they do this thing where you're starting at a rinky dinky club, mm-hmm. and your whole idea is to go out and get big and come back and have that moment where you're like, I'm back in the small thing. I started in Tucson, Arizona at a club called Laughs, and I had been trying to get back in there.
Yeah.
And my agent reached out, they didn't call back. There was all this stuff, but that's so good. It's so
that's
good.
Hilarious to me.
Cause
insane.
That's the most comic thing ever for them to be like, oh, I don't know. Well, then they sent me along the owner. I think the owner's son, who might be the owner now, sent me a DM, but in the DM, he was like, yeah, we don't want to book big headliners. They're not worth it. We have a good system where we just paper the room and people come and you're like, basically in the DM, he was like, hey, we're just here to sell drinks and food. We're not here to provide. And at that moment you go, oh, then I don't want to come back.
You do not want
to. Then we're good.
No.
So I don't know when this is coming out, but I'm going to be at the Rialto, which is the theater in Tucson. So please fill that up.
That's amazing.
Cause then I will have to go back to Laughs begging. Please bring me inside. I said some shit on my podcast. I was fucking drunk. I'm drinking again.
You will have to paper.
Yeah. Paper heavy for that. But do you ever worry about when you're in Syracuse? Because when you do bits sometimes and you come home and people that you know, when you do bits, do you ever hate that about performing in Syracuse?
Yeah. So I was home... this is last year, headlining it, and in the front row was this girl that grew up one door down, and she, you also get the people from your life that don't go to comedy coming to see you, and
they have no idea, and it's not their fault, they're just not into it.
It's not their fault. She got pretty drunk, and she was talking to me like we were hanging out.
Love it.
And she was like, talk about the time that that the neighbor did this thing. And I'm like,
now, let's be honest. We're in a safe space.
Mm-hmm.
How angry were you? How much did you have to hide?
I had to hide it for 45 minutes.
It's the way a parent has to hide wanting to hit their kid in public. It's that, you know?
Yeah.
When
yeah.
we get home.
I go, and I don't even know if this is the right move comedically, but I was like, hey, I'll tell that story if you do me a favor and let me do my show the rest of the night.
Yeah.
I'm like, just let me tell, I'll tell the story, but this, we don't normally do this.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, I'm so sorry. And then, you know, that drunk apologizing over and over. And I go,
I'm so sorry. Yeah. Did I ruin your yeah. show?
And I go, we're good.
I'm fine. You do have to get like gun range instructor yeah. with them. You go, keep your questions down. I told you this. I need your goggles on it the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was, actually just did this club in Richmond, Virginia, the Funny Bone. Mm-hmm. Great club.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing, just having fun. It was like very low selling Thursday shows.
Sure.
But the crowd was great.
Mm-hmm.
And this, in high school, my senior year, I was in such love with this girl. I had such a crush on this girl, but she had a boyfriend. It was a very complicated thing. But I mean, you want to talk about early 2000s, smoking cigarettes, listening to Dave Matthews Band.
Yeah.
I was in love with this girl.
Yeah.
And I'm like saying something and I get heckled by somebody out of the darkness. Just someone yells a name, my friend's name. And I was like, how do you know that name? And then the heckler's like, I went to high school with you. And I was like, who are you? And it was that girl's little sister who I knew. Bethany, if you're watching this, you did heckle me. And then I just went off on how her sister broke my heart.
I was like,
well, now you've
unlocked this.
Yeah, you started this.
Yeah,
I'm going to finish it. Yeah. And I have the mic in the spotlight.
Yeah.
So let me tell you where this is coming from. But then her and her husband came back after and were awesome. And we talked and it was great. But yeah, that like I know no one else. I wonder if cops get that. Like, I think that I'm trying to think of the only other job where you know someone from childhood where you can't treat them like their profession, where you go like
you get pulled over by,
shut up. Fucking, didn't you used to have rosacea? And you're like, hey, shut up. Like, what are you going to pull me over? Because my skin's clear. And you're like, I'll fucking beat the shit out of you. If I were a cop and I ran into someone I'd go to high school with, I'd beat the shit out of them.
My body cam would be off.
You're just in the squad car and you run the license and you just watch Steven go, I got this. And you go, yeah, you got really hyped up when you checked their info. Yeah. This fucker used to stuff me in a locker. I wonder. I wish we could interview cops and like blank out their face, do like gangland and be like, I beat the shit out of them. We went to high school together. It was me and me on the football team. Because I would do that. That's why when like liberals get very, very upset at cops mm-hmm. and they go like, how could they act that way? You know, it's human.
Yeah.
Trust me, you were given that power. Yeah. I highly doubt.
I'm very glad I don't have that power so I can sit from a judging place.
Yes, that's it. You go, I relinquish that power in order for the power to judge.
Yeah, exactly.
Brother, I get it.
I 100% get it.
If I'm having a bad day, at being a comic, I just call a lady in the audience a cunt. You know, if you're having a bad day as a cop, you put four in the back of a guy running away from you. And that's just like, it's just a bad day.
Yeah.
Everyone's got them.
Yeah.
We got to start giving people more slack for having bad days, you know?
Like, 100%.
I'm not saying we should write off all police abuse.
No. We're talking about bad days.
I'm talking about specifically having a bad day at work.
Mm-hmm.
Bumping into anyone you knew at your job sucks.
Yeah.
I don't care what the job is. Stand up, police. Dude, when I was a waiter, this cute girl I went to high school with that I hadn't seen in shit, like fucking 5-6 years at the time. I had to wait on her at a work party.
Right.
And so she just did the thing while I was clearing tables where she's like, I went to high school with him.
And you're like, you don't do that. And you go, don't.
Like, are you done with that? Stacking it on the two things.
You don't. You're supposed to let the guy do his job and not, and you have like the wink moment.
Were you ever a waiter?
I was a cashier, and that happened a lot. You catch
way more shit than waiters.
I agree, but you know, waiters would disagree.
Yeah, well,
but
waiters are theatrical gays, so I wouldn't be surprised that we're disagreeing with that.
I would get people, that I went to high school with come through my line.
Where were you a cashier at?
At Wegmans in Syracuse.
Son of a bitch. That is 11 out of 10 degree difficulty.
Yeah.
Oh, would they ever do this? Would they ever go, Steven?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I go, well, it says it here. You knew.
Fun. How many of those until it was a bit?
I mean,
because you get bits, like that's like
I never did. I just thought of that now.
Really?
I didn't ever do that.
Oh, you didn't do that as a bit?
No.
I had a bit at Bed Bath & Beyond because we had to wear name tags. But like by a couple months in, I was just unloading trucks.
Yeah.
So I was in the back. But if I wanted to go fill my water bottle, I had to go through the store.
Yeah.
And if you had a name tag on and anyone asked you a question, you had to give them like that fake. This is why that fucking dumb company's bankrupt. You had to be like, hi. And if I'm unloading, I'm literally counting loofahs with a scan tagger and cutting. I just have a box cutter.
Right.
I just want to go smoke cigarettes. That's all I want. And you would go in and these dumb old ladies would be like, I'm looking for 800 thread count Egyptian cotton sheets. You go, then go to bedding, you dumb bitch. But I had to be like,
to take them.
Oh, we'll come. But I don't have that in me.
I don't either.
I have a very limited amount of that in me. So if I was having a bad day at Bed Bath & Beyond, it's Arizona. So like in the back, it would get like, they had air conditioners, but it would get to like 95 in the back and you're just, the truck thing's going up and you're just pulling boxes. You're not in a good mood. And I was going, I used to have a bit where if people ask me for help, they go, excuse me, do you work here? And I go, no, I just like name tags and I keep it moving. And it worked.
That's really good.
They go like, huh? And then I'd just be like filling my water at the cold water fountain, not the hot one by the office. I'm not a fucking idiot. So you fill it with the cold water and then you walk through and you're like, yeah, I don't know. I stop and talk to them. Technically, I did what you asked me to do. And then I'd just go into the middle and eat candy bars. I would just steal candy bars and just eat them. Cashier sucks.
Cashier stinks.
What was the worst send? Did you have to tell someone to send stuff back? Like, could they not afford stuff?
Ooh.
Like while you're scanning it, because I've been that guy. Louis had a phenomenal joke about that, where he like goes to the grocery store and he's like doesn't have enough money. He goes, "Well, I guess you can just put all that back."
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, that's like an old Louis joke.
I had a woman come up. She was doing EBT. She had like this huge amount of food, and she looked at me and she goes, "I don't want to have to do this twice." It was, you know, some filling out the car, you know, in the red, you know. And as soon as she said that, I was like, this woman's going to have to do this twice.
Oh, no.
Because the anxiety of, so.
That's your that's your hurt locker.
Yeah.
Now you're like, green wire, red wire. Green wire, red wire. She's like, I'm on government assistance, and I'm mad about it, and I don't want to do this twice.
And good news, she didn't have to do it twice. Oh, she had to do it three times. Oh!
What did she have to do with the EBT?
I forget. Like, I had to, like, enter something that's on it, like, on her card. And it's, like, you know, it's more complicated than your muscle memory stuff.
Yeah.
So anything that breaks the repetition, you know, you could be out. Or you just haven't done it.
Yeah.
And
that's even harder.
Yeah.
Not doing something at a job and having to do it for the first time is such an anxious experience.
Yeah.
Like, I never knew how to open a bottle of wine.
Oh, my. I still do. Yeah.
I never knew.
Your cork is inside
Yeah, but like the actual presentation about how you hold the bottle.
Oh, yeah. You have to do all that.
And then you take a little
that.
Knife cut out and you cut off the top and then you put the key in and you twist it. But then what you do is you do a 1, 2. And so, I mean, I got good at it.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I had to do it, I was right around this time. Again, I don't know where we're in this, but it was 4:20. I remember the date. Because I got high as shit. It was 4:20 and I was on a double at Dos Caminos, and I went to my friend Troy's house, who's on 57th and 1st, and he had a bong, and it was 4:20 and I was on my break and I was like, it's 4:20. I'm going to rip. I didn't have any money, so I didn't have any weed.
Yeah.
So my friend Troy was like working at Sirius at the time, and he was like, yeah, I'll give you some bong hits. It wasn't Troy Kwan. O&A fans always love to go like, it was my friend Troy, who I knew from Arizona, from U of A. And we take like 3 bong hits each. We were playing Xbox 360 just came out. So it was revolutionary.
Huge.
And then I was like, oh, I got to go back for my dinner shift. It's always the shifts that you think aren't going to be shit where the worst stuff happens, where you go, I got my dinner shift and then I'll come back over and we'll play more Xbox 360.
Yeah.
It's like that kind of talk. Like, let me go do this small, inconvenient thing and then I'll be back. Dude, I was fucking ripped. And we used to have to do pre-shift.
Yeah.
Pre-shift, most restaurants do. The nicer restaurants bring out the specials.
Sure.
And you sell them back to the chef.
Right.
To show that you understand what's in the dish.
Sure.
But then there's also menu items. And so what they would do is it'd be like this long dinner, mm-hmm. right? It'd be like 16 to 18 waiters.
Mm-hmm.
Even talking about it, it's making me sweat. People have been DMing me about they like waiter stories. Well, here's one for you, because this one's upsetting me already on the inside. 18 waiters, and I'm fucking new. This mm-hmm. is like maybe 2 months into me living in the city. I don't know New York. I'm a fucking Colorado, Arizona bumpkin, you know? I'm just like...
I remember moving here. I wouldn't want to do...
The pressure. You feel... Pimp's from the city, so they don't understand this. There is a pressure when you move here that you go like, city's so fucking tight, and I'm so fucking scared. But I'm high, and I'm high enough that when I sit down, I go like, nice, I get to eat food. Like, that's all I keep thinking. I was like, pass the guacamole, because they'd always drop a guacamole and get chips.
And when you're thinking that, you know your priorities are in a good
My mind is not focused. And I remember it was Vanessa, the manager, and we're like sitting around and they would call on waiters, you know, and like they would call on one waiter. And I talked about it on a previous episode. This guy, Efren, I hope he's okay. He was this older gay Ecuadorian dude. He was Spanish, and he would stand up and he'd be like, these are our plantain empanadas. It's plantain masa filled with cotija cheese and black bean. Thank you. You'd like sell it really gay, but then he'd be like, thank you, and sit down. I always remember Efren. He like sells something, and I'm like high, and I'm like, he's gay. You know? Because I'm still from Colorado, so I'm like, this guy is gay. When you move to New York and you're from there, you're like, God, they're so loud about it. But Efren was like, I'm just trying to hear some guacamole made with this, and it's beautiful. Thank you. Dog, it came up to me, and I'm high as shit, and I think Vanessa knew that. She goes, Dan. And I was like, no. And she goes, sell back this. And it was the mushroom empanadas.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't remember the name empanada. So I just go, these are mushrooms. And three times strong, I went, these are mushrooms. Oh, these are mushrooms. And she goes, sit down. And I was like, fuck, I'm in trouble. So then they do, and then they get to the wine. And she goes, all right, Dan, you couldn't do the mushroom empanadas. Why don't you present the red wine we have tonight and tell us what it is? I'm high as fuck. Talking about that EBT thing where you have to like do something you're not used to, I have never done wine service.
Yeah.
I got hired because my friend's brother was the chef. So it was a Nepo hire.
Right.
And I get it, and I like just stick the... I don't take the... tin foil off. Uh-huh. I just put it in there and I start twisting it. She goes, what the fuck are you doing? And I was like, huh? And then like the Snickers.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you know, these are all theater kids. So they're good at making you feel like shit.
Yeah.
They're like, he doesn't even know how to do it. And you're like, and I'm high as fuck. And I'm just like, and then she was like, stop, put it down. Go open bottles of wine with Chef Memo after this pre-shift. So I had to go to the back of the restaurant and with one of the chefs had to learn how to, but it taught me.
Yeah.
Taught me how to learn how to open wine bottles. But that was a moment that is just grained in my head.
That's how I've learned most stuff is being horribly humiliated.
Yes.
Going through severe pain.
Yes.
And I'll never forget it.
But you'll never forget it.
And now I have a skill.
This is why we need to bring shame back.
I think, I mean, I have never given it up.
It is. It's, me too.
Yeah.
I'm shameful about every small little thing, and it changes how you do stuff.
Yes.
You become more focused on doing it right
mm-hmm.
when you are, I think like the everyone gets a trophy thing. I think the idea behind it was good.
Sure.
Where they wanted to save kids from embarrassment.
Or yeah.
There are some kids that can't handle embarrassment.
Yeah.
And their lives drop. But I also think you made a generation of cocksuckers. Just mean motherfuckers that are just like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
It's like, because you didn't get humbled.
Yes. Yeah.
You did not get humbled. And getting humbled is very important to make a decent person.
It's so important to make a decent person. And now I'm at a point where when I'm humbled, it doesn't ever feel good, but the recovery is faster.
Yes.
And I'm laughing pretty quickly after being humbled.
Best part about being a comic is everyone wants to hear you fail.
Yeah.
So when something's bad going, you go like, yeah, it's a good joke.
Yeah.
This will be a joke. This makes me feel like shit, so it'll be a joke.
And I'll say also, like, being a comic has made me more of a risk taker because I'm not afraid of failing because I know I get a bit.
There you go.
So I'm like, oh, I either get this thing I'm chasing or I have a bit.
But it doesn't matter if you're a comedian. I think it's really important for people just to learn how to feel shame and to learn how to shake it off.
Yes.
To have that moment where you go, ha, fuck, I am being a dickhead.
Yeah.
I think our country completely lacks that, right?
Yes,
now.
I agree.
Everyone lacks, left and right, both lack this idea of going like, ha, fuck, I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
I fucked up.
So quick to try to find how we're right or, you know, not admit that we're wrong.
Yeah.
And it's like admitting you're wrong is very rewarding.
It's great.
And very funny.
It's great.
It's great. I like it.
That shame part is so, like, I think of all the times I was really shamed into something and I always... I don't want to say always. Most of the time, I learned a lesson from it.
Oh,
I learned, like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Like, all these guys now that complain about you can't hit on women or whatever, you can't do this, it goes, well, that's shame.
Mm-hmm.
You got to learn how to not do it well.
I'm currently doing that.
Oh, yeah, because you're single now.
Yeah.
And not back out there. And how the hell is that going?
This is a fun one. This one just happened.
Yes. This is fresh off the this is fresh out the oven, dude.
So I'm not trying to do apps. I want to grow as a person as far as hitting on women in public.
And seeing a woman you like.
Yeah, see a woman I like and approach them. It is a nightmare.
It always has been.
Yes.
Because what they don't tell you is the worst isn't no. The worst is I have a boyfriend.
Yes.
And you're inappropriate for doing this.
Yes.
And you go like, oh.
No is a very nice treat compared to what else is going to happen.
So what just happened?
So I'm trying to get better at it. And any advice, please.
I hate going through shame, but I love watching people go through it.
I love sharing it after it's done.
But oh boy, do I love watching spectators. America. It's time for me to go on the road. I'm Dan Soder, and I'm heading out on the Golden Retriever of Comedy Tour. That's right, the greatest nickname I've ever received. Thank you, Reddit. I'm doing theaters across everywhere. Everywhere you've been putting in comments, DMing me, sending me emails, when are you coming to such and such city? I'm coming to all of them. The Golden Retriever of Comedy Tour. Throw a premise. I'll chase that sumbitch down.
I was at a coffee shop. Beautiful woman comes in, and I have a note. You know, this is an obvious one. They're reading a book. Leave them alone.
Leave them alone.
This woman comes in, red leather jacket. Yeah. And
Pretty cool.
Carmen San Diego. And she sits, and she's reading, and I'm like, okay, can't talk to her. Puts the book down.
There you go.
And I'm like, all right, we're fine. And I'm in line, and we make eye contact, and I go, great jacket, love your jacket. And she goes, oh, thanks. And then I froze and just turned back into line.
That's not that bad.
It's
not that bad. If you would have had a stare and a smile or a little bit more of that, because, brother, you do two more steps, you might have got yourself in a way worse situation.
Well, she said thanks, but then there's like nowhere, I don't know where to go after that.
Your leather's murder.
What, you think the cow was red? Yeah. Anyway.
You want a coffee? I'm in line. She goes, thanks.
And then recently, Peter Wong is my best pal. I know you've worked with Peter.
Peter's hilarious.
He and I were at a bar, and he's like, come on, we're going to approach these two women. And I was like, all right, I'm trying to get out there and do it. We go up to these women. You ever all right, I'm going to be truly myself.
Sure.
So I'm going to be the idiot I am with my friends.
No, that is.
Now I know.
That's too much of how the sausage is made.
Yeah, so exactly. So these two women, they're roommates, and we're like talking to them, and they're like, yeah, we're getting evicted. Our landlord's crazy and a racist. And I was like, ugh. That's a shame. I love a racist. Like, and that's something that would make Peter Wong laugh very hard.
Yeah.
And he did. She did not laugh. And I go, oh, no, it's a, and she was like, you can't say that. And I'm like, no, that's a bit.
There you go. You know what? That's where you got to turn it on them and go, no, I don't like you anymore.
Yeah, I didn't like her anymore.
That's where you just got to get that confidence to go, ew to you.
I can't.
You can't handle a joke? Ew.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't miss that. I mean, I'm grateful for Katie for a lot of reasons.
Oh, of course.
But one of those things is that first approach where you just go like, hey, so I was wondering if you, dude, I had one on the B train going downtown from Herald Square. And it's, you know, one long, it goes Herald Square to West 4th. I was going to the cellar and I'm like on the train. There's a girl with a kid that she's clearly babysitting.
Mm-hmm.
She's clearly babysitting him. I'm like reading my book and I'm looking up and we're making eye contact and I smile and she smiles. And I look back, I'm reading my book. I look back up. She looks at me. I'm smiling. She's smiling. So I go, I don't know. We kind of have, you know. I'm going to do something about this. Stops at West 4th. She gets off the train. I immediately get off the train and I go, hey, I was wondering if I could take you to lunch sometime or whatever. She shields the kid behind her. She shielded the child. And she was like, I have a boyfriend. I'm sorry. And then just walked up the steps and I just sat on the platform and let it cool off.
You should have went, I wasn't talking to you.
The kid. You into dudes, bro? Or are you just letting this one molest you? She goes, I don't molest him. And you go, yeah, right? Her big hands make your dork look tiny. I'll just suck you, little man. And she's like, Jesus. You go, we didn't have to go here.
You have a boyfriend. Yeah.
Right? We didn't have to go here. We could have been in love.
Yeah.
Now I'm a pedophile. That's how you change it. You and I could have been in love. Now I diddle kids, you selfish bitch. She's like, Jesus Christ. Her coming home, her boyfriend's like, hey, honey, how was work? And she goes, people in this city. I think I turned a guy into a pedophile.
I need to lay down.
Would you get back on the apps?
The issue with, yes, but the issue is it makes me on my phone more. It's so easy to like, if I feel like there's no stakes.
Yeah.
And it's
the same with talking shit online. People feel very brazen and and then you meet up with them and you're like, oh, you didn't.
Yeah. I'd rather, and even if nothing does come of like this in-person stuff, I do think it's making me grow as a person that's like, like just doesn't know how to start conversations.
Sure.
Like, you know?
Yeah, but you don't want to get too good at it because then you're a problem. If you're walking up like tying a cherry stem and you're with your tongue, you're like, hello, ladies.
I got to tell you, we're going to be fine. Yeah.
You know who used to be my favorite wingman was Joe List.
I don't doubt that for a second.
He would always do this joke where there'd be, like, no matter how many there were of us, he'd go, three of you, three of us. But he would always do that. But sometimes it would work because you go, sorry for my asshole friend. But that's why he was doing that.
Yeah.
He knew you were going to take that shot. And then they'd be like, yeah, you ran. And then you're like, nah, 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 you got to buy you a beer. And then
all I'm doing is bits. And if they laugh, then I'm interested in talking to them more. And if they don't, I'm like, all right, well, I wouldn't be interested even if nothing happened.
Yeah, I'd say act handicapped. I say act handicapped, fall in love with them, and then reveal you're not handicapped. This always goes well.
I'm like, sorry, I can't see. This
I don't know what love is. And then she sees you perform, and she goes, you're not deaf at all. And you're like, I know, but I wanted to make sure this was the right kind of love.
You heard how good I was doing too.
Oh, you could tell that I could hear? Yeah, man, I feel bad for anyone that's just out here constantly on the apps because it seems I tried a couple apps, but the one that really annoyed me the most was Match.com.
Oh, I refuse.
It was like a college essay.
That's what I've heard.
You had to like put so much stuff in there.
Yeah.
And I did it and I was like, this will be worth it. And then the first couple matches were just girls going, I bet I'm funnier than you are. And you're like, well, I'm deleting this entire fucking profile.
I've been talking to the comics about this and obviously it's the same on both sides. Like,
oh, women probably get it way more than we get it.
The female comics putting it, I understand putting a shot of you doing stand up to be like, hey, if this is a deal breaker, let's just.
I'm going
to
talk about your dick.
That's sometimes just what, it's a good thing.
Yeah, female comics go, I'm just letting you know. We fuck.
Yeah.
Probably going to be about 7 minutes on.
Yeah. Sometimes that starts a nickname that really does well for you. Everybody has to bring up that you're a comic if you show that you're a comic in your app. And I don't know. I like, you would approach people, like, how would you approach people?
This is when I was drinking.
Yeah.
I don't think I approached. The only time I met an ex-girlfriend while we were filming something, but it was never like, I didn't walk up to her.
Right.
There was already a situation where I could talk to her.
Yeah.
Other exes, I'm trying to think since I've stopped drinking.
Yeah.
Because drinking makes everything.
Yeah, I'm a Camino's guy.
Okay.
So I'll like do that.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, I clocked him. I was like, oh, that's what I, those are
little
kinds of
sours, little gummies.
Yeah. Gummies are great.
Which brings me to my point. I don't think I'll ever do this as a stand-up bit, but I wrote this down. Regular gummies, what are you doing? No one cares, you fucking dorks.
Yeah.
You're going like, oh, it's like, I told Katie, it's like giving someone a glass of tonic. You go, I don't want this. Put gin in it.
Yeah, you have Sour Patch, and you're like, 2 hours from now, this is going to be great. Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm about to meet Dad again. You go, there we go. And you go, nothing.
Just
a sugary buzz? Because I like gummies. But I get, edibles are terrible for meeting women. Weed in general is terrible for meeting women. Yeah. I didn't want to drink a lot my freshman year of college. So, I smoked the same amount of weed I smoke now, but horrible for meeting women. Horrible.
Yeah. Yeah,
because you're just high, and then you're like, you notice stuff about them.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, do your teeth always click when you chew? And they go, yeah. And you go, I'm out. But if you're drinking, you're like, you got teeth?
Yeah,
that's fucking cool. Come here, kiss me.
Hi, you're like, what am I going to date a woman with eyelids? I'm not going to do, you know, like
fucking weirdo. Drinking was ultimately the thing that was how I met women. I'd get drunk and just walk up and be like, hey, how you doing?
Yeah,
and sometimes you'd stumble into something. Oftentimes you stumble into something horrible.
Yeah.
Because you're drinking, you're drunk and you're misreading it. And you're like, this girl's fun.
And on dates, like I've been on a couple and it is drinks. And I'm not a big drinker.
How long were you in the relationship for?
7 years.
Wow. Coming out of that. What date was the worst so far? Like a date where you just go, do you hit a moment where you go like, is it too soon after the breakup? Is the connection wrong? Where you just have a moment where you're sitting there and you go like, what are we doing?
There are times. Yeah, I can't. There was one of the earlier ones where it was real. This is what stinks. I had a great date where I'm like, I'm a good hang.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I can handle that. And we have a good time. It goes well. And even like lasts longer than we both said we would be able to go out.
Yeah.
And then, and so good where I'm like, well, the kid still got it.
Yeah.
And then the next day, the text, you get the,
oh.
And I've got the long text I've gotten a couple times now.
Well, you see how long it is and you go,
I go, this is going to end with, let's go out again.
Yeah. Come over and fuck me right now. So these are all the reasons I need you to get over here right fucking now.
You know when it starts with, you're a great guy, and ends with, get over here.
Or, yeah. Or, I just want to tell you how much fun I had last night.
Yeah. And I can't wait to do it again.
Oh, God damn it.
Do me a favor. Stop telling me how great I am.
Dude, I went on a date and the girl started talking about comedy, but her opinions of comedy made me angry. Oh, they didn't
gel? Yeah, yeah.
And then the waitress came up and talked about a bar show that I had been on with a couple other comics, like less than a couple of people that I love.
Mm-hmm.
And the waitress was like rock and roll kind of type or whatever, very cute. And it's so funny when you go, you sit down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You bring me lunch.
You're trying to do the Seinfeld switch?
Yeah, I don't want.
Yeah.
This one's awesome.
Yeah.
That girl's like, have you ever seen this guy? He's hilarious. And you're like, he sucks. And then this girl's like, oh my God, I went to Boxcar and it was like you, List, and Nick Mullen and Stavros, and you guys all murdered. And you're like, sit down. you're up. And then it was. And it was like, again, another long text where she's like, I had so much fun at our lunch date. Damn, dude. There's always something. It's always something where they'll blow it somehow, or you'll blow it, and you'll be like, fuck.
The The mentioning of who they like as a comic actually does tell you a lot.
Dude, it would make me so mad.
Yeah. And there have been times where I'm like, not only do I love that you love this person, we could go see them tonight.
That's if fun.
You, like, I can go, I can hit them up and they can meet us here.
I mean, Katie's taste in comedy is impeccable. So
yeah,
it was awesome. When we started dating and I was like, what about that? And she's like, I love that guy. I was like, you want to go see it? She was like, yeah.
Oh,
and it was just like,
that's
like,
the dream.
She was like so stoked that we got to go see Nate at town hall. She's like, you can get me in to see Nate. I was like, I fucking hope so. And then we went
it's a bigger problem for me if we can get in.
But I've dated girls that don't get it.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, you don't, or they'll like say who their favorite comic is. And you're like,
Yeah.
An ex of mine one time was like, I was watching this guy on Netflix and I was like, don't say it. Don't say it. She's like, Chris D'Elia? And you're like, oh no.
That's what I pictured when you said hilarious earlier.
Yeah. You got hot girl brain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. And then in my head, I went, just wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's funny now to go, all right.
Yeah. He ain't coming up now. Yeah.
I think you're a little too old for it. I think you're a little too old and a little too independent for it. But it does. It's like, it's, and he's a nice guy, but it does, you want, whoever you date, you want them to have a similar sense of humor as you.
Big time.
I feel like it'd be tough if you're a woman and you're dating a guy and they were like, the guy is like a Cumtown super fan, or like, even me, if you're like too big of a fan of me and they're like, I don't know, you know.
Interesting.
I wouldn't be mad if someone was like,
Look, at the risk of sounding like I'm blowing smoke, if I went on a date with a woman and she was a fan of you, I'd be like, this is great.
Yeah.
I just
she's got some kids somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Check that history. I don't think this is, we're not getting a girl fresh out of college. That's a woman that's lived life. She goes, you know, I like Dan Soder. He's like a scar on a knuckle.
That's amazing.
That just makes you feel good. And you go, Jesus Christ.
That's so
great. Because I don't fault all of hot girls sometimes, or women in general, and guys will sometimes like shittier stuff, and you can get them to like better stuff.
Yeah.
That's not always out of the realm of possibility.
That's actually very fun to do.
Yeah. Go like, you've never heard this person?
Yeah.
You like this person?
Yeah.
Because then you see them become a fan, then it's awesome. I've always done that with music.
Yeah.
I've had exes that were great with that with music, where they're like, oh, you never heard this band, you should listen to this band, and then that's a connection where you go, like, that's incredible. With Katie, we share, like, I'll get into something, I'll play it for her. Maybe she's into it, maybe she's not, but then you get into it, and you're like, fucking, all right, awesome. Now I have a new favorite band.
Yeah.
But, man, when they say something you hate, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, with the movies, too. I'm a big, like, Ace Ventura, Dumb and Dumber guy.
Yeah. Have you had women say they don't like it?
Yeah.
Who doesn't like Dumb and Dumber?
Women.
Yeah. I get it if it's like an artsy flick that's like a little deep and you don't get it.
Yeah.
I understand not liking that, but when you're like, that's a classic.
Yeah. Now, I'm fine with you not knowing it.
Yeah.
Totally fine with that. And I won't even do the, let's go watch it together. I'll go watch it and let me know what you think.
Because too much pressure watching someone watch something.
I will not make anyone sit through that. Okay. I've also, here's another why I'm a hero as a single man.
Yeah.
I started learning guitar and I refuse to play for a woman. I will never play for a woman.
What date?
What date did I start?
What date would you show her you play the guitar? Because eventually she'd have to see it. You walk in and the axe is in the corner of the room.
She's
going to go, what are you doing?
I think during her second trimester,
that's so
I would
funny.
Start.
Sing to the baby? I'm going to sing to the baby. She goes, you sing? You go, do I? That's when you pull the pick out of the neck. You go, a little treat for you. Because I went to college at the birth of Facebook. I was in college for the birth of Facebook, basically for like the birth of online. So there was no hive mind. Mm-hmm. Not everyone knew that the guy pulled out the guitar and did Wonderwall.
Yeah.
I just hated him.
Yeah.
And then you find out other people do it. And my friend Kevin Sullivan, Sully, he lives in England now. He's a fucking phenomenal guitar player. Did the music for my Comedy Central special, not special.
Awesome.
Like, that's how talented he is. He was like, we couldn't get cleared a song. He's like, I'll just make a song that sounds like it. And he did it. It's like that kind of musical talent. Kind of like Kevy, how fucking musically talented he is. But my friend, he never tried to get pussy with it. He would just play in his room and you'd walk in and you'd be like, oh, you're like a virtuoso.
That's why he's good.
And he'd be like, yeah. And he'd just like play. And I'd be like, can you play this? And he'd be like, just on an acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
And then one time we did mushrooms. It's my freshman year of college. And we were walking around the Arizona Mall at the University of Arizona. It's called the Mall, but it's just like this long strip. Very high on mushrooms. I started freaking out. And so I went back to my dorm room and I was just laying. I had like a my desk and then the bed over the desk. So I crawl on my bed and I'm just like laying, staring at the ceiling. And then I hear Sully knock on my door and he goes, "Hey man, what are you doing?" And I was like, "I'm just tripping on mushrooms." And he goes, "That's awesome. You want me to pull my amp in here and jam?" And I was like, "That would be so sick." And he just brought his guitar and it was just like, dude, one of the greatest moments of my college career history. It was just laying in my fucking bed being like, "I am tripping nuts." And I would just like yell out a song. I'd be like, "Can you do Scar Tissue by Red Hot Chili Peppers?" And you just start playing it. And I'd be like, "What about Zeppelin, Black Dog?" You just start playing any song I yelled out. It was fucking awesome.
Dude.
Great trip.
That's amazing.
Also, that was the trip that I learned to not look into mirrors on mushrooms. Because you age, you're aging very fast in real time.
I've only I took them since the breakup.
How'd it go? Ego death?
Yeah.
I'm due for one.
Yeah.
How much did you take?
I don't know how much I took. A comedian friend of mine trips at me, and he goes, "This is how much you're going to take."
Oh, that's what you need. You got a Sherpa.
Yeah. And he told me everything I had to do. He's like, "Eat at this time.
Yeah.
Do this, do this, do this."
Oh, I gave you a launch schedule.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people just tell you, like, "We're going to throw you up in the air. Here's what you shouldn't do." Drink milk if you want to come down. Drink orange juice if you want to go higher up.
Oh, really?
That was like the old wives' tale that I heard, because milk coats your stomach.
Sure.
So it'll take out the psilocybin spores that are like in. But again, I'm not. Someone online could be like, "That's not true at all." And I'd be like, "Yeah, you're probably right."
Right.
But I've had to hit the milk a couple times when you're just absolutely flying high and you go, "This is too much. I'm gonna crash.
Hit the milk as a great expression.
Chug a glass of milk and then an hour later you're like, "I'm okay."
Yeah.
I'm shelled back up. I'm not. It is. Mushrooms are, I think everyone should have to do 3 grams of mushrooms once in their life. Just sit there and do it.
I think I'm going to do it once a year, maybe.
It's great. I'm due. Yeah. I haven't done it since 2019.
Oh,
so
maybe.
I'm owed.
Yeah? What do you think about the once a year thing I just said?
I love it. I used to do that.
Is that fair?
That's great. Fuck it. I'm going to make this promise on this podcast and then I'll just do it. We've been talking for years about me and Ari Shaffir getting a cabin with Mike Vecchione. But Vecchione did mushrooms already without me. But I think it's time we do it. You do mushrooms with Ari, you do mushrooms. And it is.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
That's the Sherpa, dude.
Yeah.
Ari is the Sherpa. He'll lead you up the mountain and he'll lead you back down again. I've done the hardest drugs I've ever done have been with Ari Shaffir, and they've always been a good experience.
I believe that he's got your back in that situation, but yeah. I also believe it's probably more intense than anything I've ever.
It is the exact same as I felt when Billions hired a stunt coordinator for our boxing scene, and it was the most intense man I've ever met in my life, where he's like, "I will keep you safe. Here is what's going to happen." And you're like, "Fake fight. We just have to throw fake punches." And he's like, "That's not," but like that kind of stunt energy where they're like, "You will get hit hard. It will hurt. You will be okay." And you're like, "Oh my God." But it was like, mushrooms are an incredible experience.
I'm very glad I did. I've always wanted to. And
where did you do them? At your place?
At my place.
Did you go outside?
I didn't.
You stayed inside.
I stayed inside.
Bold move. Tough thing to be kenneled up.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Pimp because I know Pimp does mushrooms. You got to go outside.
That's what I heard, but I was afraid to go outside. Like, I was afraid to do too much more than what I was already doing.
Yeah, the fear is part of it, though.
Yeah.
The fear and being outside and realizing we're all an organism, just one giant organism.
I reached that inside, it's great. I will say. Well, I have cats, so when, like, they were around.
What was that like?
I mean, we were.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Did they treat you different the next day? Are they in the morning like, "Hey, you still fucked up?" "You were weird as fuck, dude."
Start licking their ass. Yeah, they go.
All right. Yeah, because I wonder how Myrtle would be if I was tripping my ass off. I was like, "Myrtle, I love you." And she'd be like, "Yeah, I love you too. What is this?" But I do love doing mushrooms. Yeah, I'm going to do mushrooms again.
It was cabin. An amazing experience. I really loved that.
It's very fun. The best part of mushrooms is the coming down. Because you have the lessons, you're not scared, and you just kind of get to enjoy. I've always use the analogy that it is the exact same as one of those launchers at the carnival. Sure. You know, where they strap you into those seats and they pull you down and they go, 1, 2, 3, and you get launched. You're like, ah!
Yeah.
But then you're up there and then you're like, oh, cool. And yeah. You go down and then you come back up and you're like, ah! And
yes.
Like, oh, fuck, that's awesome. And then you're like, by the fourth, like, bounce, you're like, oh, that's what that looks like. Oh, look, I could see that over there.
Yeah.
And then you come back down and you're like, that was a fun fucking ride.
It's such an informative ride and really great. And like, I always knew I was going to do them. And a breakup's a good time to do it.
Too. Absolutely.
I was like,
shed some
here's
skin.
Yes, exactly. I'm like, here's my time to do it. And it was really informational and great.
You didn't have the feeling of reaching out, did you? Okay, good. Because when you're high on mushrooms, you're like, I got something to say. No. I just figured out what I would say.
No, and then they go, yeah.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy how hard it is to text on mushrooms?
I hid my phone from me.
Great.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried to text on mushrooms? It is hard, dude.
What?
You get
what
on there and you're like.
All right, is it like all like.
It's just the light is fucked up.
Yeah.
It's not. Texting now, you're like, and you put it down on mushrooms. You're like, I got to find the letter. And then. Sorry for telling the story again, but it is appropriate for the situation. In 2018, I went and saw Queens of the Stone Age in Sweden and then found out that Pearl Jam was playing in Amsterdam like 3 days later. And my friend Mike and I were taking a week vacation to do Sweden, Amsterdam, Iceland. Those nice. We wanted to go to the whitest places on earth, and we did. But they don't have mushrooms in Amsterdam. They have truffles,
Okay. Which
are different. They are different.
Okay.
And I went and bought a dose for one, which is just no way there's a dose for one guy. But I bought truffles, and we were going to the arena. That's where Pearl Jam was. And so I ate 3/4 of it, and my friend ate 1/4 of it. And I was like, I've done mushrooms. I was too cocky. That was the problem. If you're ever too cocky with drugs, it's like we were talking about. If you get cocky with something, you're about to get shown up. Mm-hmm. You're about to be like a shift at a restaurant.
Whatever.
You're too cocky, you're about to get ear holed. So I was like, this is fine, dude. I'll eat this and then I'll be fine. And I ate it in line while we were going into the arena because I knew they're gonna check me. So we get through, and faster than any mushrooms I've ever taken, it started hitting me. And it started hitting me hard to the point that we were waiting. Europe doesn't have openers for bands. Bands just go.
Okay.
So you go see Pearl Jam, you're just seeing Pearl Jam.
On time?
Yes. Like they start. You're not seeing like an opening band. You're not going to see like Band of Horses, then Pearl Jam. You're just going to see Pearl Jam. I didn't know that. So I'm like, the lights are on and I'm like, we still got time. And I'm starting to have heavy visuals, like heavy, heavy visuals, which I never get on mushrooms. And I'm like, okay. And Mike Fu, for those Bonfire fans, remember him, Beret and what would they call him? Fartbox and Beret. But my friend Fu Jack. One of my best friends, I look at him and I go, are you feeling okay? And he goes, feeling great. And then I'm like tripping and I go, you sure you're feeling all right? And later he told me that's what flipped him. Because then he goes, am I feeling all right? And then he's like, I don't think I'm feeling all right. So there's a smoking room at this arena.
Yeah.
But it's all metal. In a fucked up way. If you live in Amsterdam or have been to Amsterdam, been to this arena, you know what I'm talking about. It's all metal. Sounds and the way that the acoustics of sounds on mushrooms are very important. You hear things different. Mm-hmm. So I walk into this fucking room and it's like, and it's always it's Dutch and English. And so I'm just like tripping out and I'm like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. So I get a water and a Heineken Zero, but they're in cups. And I'm walking into the arena to go meet up with Lou, my friend Lou and his friend Amanda, who are where we were standing.
Sure.
Fujak
gone
is in the smoking section. So I just go in by myself. And the lights, they're playing Queens of the Stone Age, If I Had a Tail. Favorite band, great song, what an omen. I'm walking in and the lights go off and I go like, uh-oh. And then it's just like whispering. And I'm going like, excuse me. And no one's moving. I'm going like, excuse me. And they're like mad at me. They're like, get out of here. And I'm like, I'm tripping now. I'm like full on tripping. And it's like the beer splashing on me, water splashing on other people. They're going like, oh, shit. And they're speaking in Dutch. They're like, oh, and I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know. Excuse me. And I'm like trying to get through. And at one point, these two people won't move. And I'm like, excuse me. And then I looked at this woman. She looks at me. I go, I can't find my friend. And she goes, I just, or whatever the fuck she said. And I go, I don't know.
Oh my God.
And I just gave up. And I just walked to the back of the arena and was tripping my ass off. And I was texting. And I texted Lou, I'm in the very back, couldn't get to you, tripping too hard. Just sent a text, not knowing if it's going to go through. And then I'm just standing there. And then Fujak, I see him start walking. So I start going, Foo! Foo! I told this story recently because someone DM'd me and was like, that means something in Holland. That's like a bad thing to say out loud. So I'm just yelling this thing like, Foo! And people are like,
whoa.
And then I grab my friend and then I see him and his eyes are like this. And we just sat there and watched Pearl Jam. And then Lou came back with his friend.
Wow.
But that was like a hard trip because I was like, I was so lost. And that was I'm never doing mushrooms at a concert again.
Yeah.
Concerts are tough. They're too tough. I got to be outside. I got to be away from, I'm too old.
Concerts and edible, you know, whatever.
Edible I can do.
Mushrooms.
What's that? In Dutch language, foo is not a common or standard word. The closest which is for or foei, which means tip in the context of giving a gratuity. That's not true at all then.
That can't be.
I'm giving gratuity. They're like, why do I want gratuity? In the Netherlands, foo or F/U is commonly used as an abbreviation for follow up. It's often seen in emails or other digital.
I mean, that's
so funny. They're like, I do not need to follow up with you. What am I following up for? And I'm like, I just want to go home. But as fast, I will say this about truffles. As fast as I went up, I came down just as fast.
Oh, that's good.
By the end of the night, I was fine. And usually on mushrooms, did you have the moment where you had to like sit with it and wear it and then like the next day be like, am I back?
Yeah, a lot of that. The first thing I did when two people shepherded me, or Sherpa,
yeah.
As soon as I left, I cleaned my whole apartment sobbing.
That's good. That's a breakthrough.
Yeah.
That's a good breakthrough. And then you wake up the next day and you go, got the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Got the rest of my life in front of me.
Yeah. I wasn't even thinking of anything to trigger the sob.
Yeah.
I think it was just like, I
tried to get out.
Yeah.
You just open the door, dude.
Yeah.
Stuff comes out when you open the door.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was really great.
Oh my God. I want to do mushrooms. This whole conversation, I'm like, I might trip my balls off soon and just get absolutely like pie eyed and being like,
yeah.
Oh, it's me. That's how I always end my trips. I go like, I'm the problem.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's my goal was to be like, all right, let's look this way and stop looking that way.
Well, you know, they used to use MDMA for terminally ill AIDS patients. Like, that's what ecstasy was originally for. They'd give MDMA to people that were terminal, either with cancer or with AIDS, and they would do it under the guise of a therapist. And a therapist would, like, give people MDMA to be with their families so they could properly express themselves before they died.
Wow.
And also, the family would take MDMA in order to, like, receive, and, like, they would do, like, this was a big practice in the late 80s, when AIDS was, like, ripping through motherfuckers. They were like, do a little ecstasy. And he goes, honey, how do you think I got here? He goes, bitch, if I would have not taken this in the bathhouse, we wouldn't have to have this little fucking sad meeting. That's the funniest thing. He goes, oh, I know this. What is this, Nike? I don't do Nike. I've got holes in my brain. Just a bathhouse legend.
He's still sassy.
Yeah. He goes, oh, I wish. The serotonin is drained. Bitch, I got Swiss cheese brain. Good luck getting me to do that. But I had never done... Have you ever done MDMA?
No.
Have you ever done it, pimp? Brother? People at home? People that have done it at home, if you've ever done pure MDMA, the only drug I can think that's better than it is propofol.
I keep hearing about propofol because of surgery and what...
Yeah.
You've done it?
It's the best. I just had a colonoscopy. I had a dual colonoscopy and endoscopy. Dual. Yeah, I got spit roasted by my doctor. Oh,
they were doing it at the same time?
No, they did.
They high-fived?
Yeah, they do the colonoscopy. They wipe it off on their jean, and then they throw it down your throat. They go, well, I was going to give him Hep A.
I get the wrong order.
Yeah. Oh, you're supposed to do endo then
colon. Oh, I had this upside down.
Oh, this chart's reversed. I got a shit mustache because he fucking jammed it. Now, they clear you out on that colonoscopy. You just get fucking, you get jelly shits by the end of it. It's crazy. They tell you to drink this drink and it's like, it'll clear you out. And you go, no, it won't. Then you drink and you go, bah! Like within 15 minutes, you're just shitting everything out. But they gave me propofol for that.
Please.
I took the rest of the day off because I just wanted to enjoy the propofol high.
Oh, my God. Because
you wake up and you're like, it's the best. It's what Michael Jackson died of.
Yeah.
It's what his doctor was giving him. And you get it. If you're the fucking king of pop, take some propofol.
Yeah.
Because it helps you sleep. And brother, does it help you sleep. But outside of propofol, this pure MDMA that Ari got us at, the Sherpa got us at Bonnaroo, 2016 was like, possibly the best drug experience I've ever had in my life.
Man.
We took it, saw LCD sound system, and it was just pure MDMA. It was like to the point that I don't think I've ever felt love like that. Like I was turning to people that were there being like, I've never felt this good. Like I was like telling people that. Like the warmth in my chest is so good. And people are like, watch out, you're going to be really sad the next day. I woke up, I was like, I was fucking rad.
You didn't crash.
I didn't crash. I woke up the next. Now we did it again the second night with mushrooms, and it was not good. It was that was a lot.
If I hear him say, "Oh yeah. God,"
yeah, it was that. It was bad. It was bad. In fact, Pimp and I were talking about that was the episode of you know what, dude, in Bonfire. I did that wasn't the same trip. That was me trying to get back what we did on that trip where I was like, all right, let's do MDMA again. And then he got it from not a reliable source, cut with speed. And then you're up for 2 days and you're fucking tweaking. It sucks. But pure MDMA.
Yeah.
There's a reason they're giving it to AIDS patients in the 80s. Cause you like relate. You gotta let it out, dude. We're all bunched up. Everyone's bunched up with
everything. Completely agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mushrooms is probably as far as I'll go.
Smart.
But it's wonderful.
It is great.
Yeah.
And now it's getting legalized in states and stuff, and people need to take it because it humbles you greatly.
Love being humbled. Love feeling connected to other people. Love removing the center of the universe feeling, the ego death, all that. Love it.
Well, you go it really is. I kept the first time I did mushrooms. It was one of the first times I did it. I kept thinking of the Bill Hicks joke where he said, we're just a virus in shoes.
Wow. And
I
was like,
yeah, that's a, and then you're wondering, then he's got a great bit about him and his friends doing mushrooms and driving in his dad's car. And they left the door open. And there was one of those 80s cars that would say stuff. And it would keep saying, the door is ajar. The door is ajar. And I always laugh at that joke. Cause he's like, the door can't be ajar. It's a door. it's not a jar. It's a door.
I think of you whenever I hear, and I think you'll know what this is from, Regan's cannonball wound.
Oh, bit. Did you?
Yeah.
No.
Because there was a thing for Regan where comics were asked to say their favorite Regan bits.
Oh, yeah.
And you were quoted for that one.
I love that one.
Yeah.
He goes, don't stand in front of a cannon.
How true that
is. How true that is. He goes, did you not do the thing I told you to do? He goes, I didn't do anything. But just when he acts it out, where he goes, here's an ointment. He goes,
yeah. Ooh. He does the entire hole.
It's great.
It's amazing.
He goes, oh, okay. I walked on the moon, top 3 hours of stand-up ever done.
I completely agree. You know, obviously, I still get to work with him. Very fortunate.
He's the fucking man.
He's the best. A lot of people say Brian Regan Live. I think I Walked on the Moon is my favorite.
I Walked on the Moon makes me still laugh the same as it did the first time I heard it.
Yeah.
Every time I watch it.
Yeah. When this keeps all your food cold for 800.
Yeah. And he goes, have a good flight. Yeah, you too, whenever you're flying again. It's like that. I think about that every time I'm in a cab.
Yeah.
It's like those bits where you're like, this is such a good bit.
He opens with an 8-minute bit, the emergency room bit.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so, say 10.
Say 8.
Oh, he goes, let's say about 8, where he goes, the pain threshold. He goes, they say that 8 is a broken femur. He goes, who's over here from the femur ward walking around going, who's
the audacity?
He's doing this scream. It's the best. Yeah. Go watch Brian Regan. Watch Steven's special. Oh, but yeah. Then watch Brian Regan. I walked on.
Definitely watch mine before you watch his.
But then I watch, and that was done at an improv. What?
Irvine Improv.
That, really?
That's I think crazy. The old one.
Yeah, okay. Not the new. The new one's giant.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure it's the Irvine Improv, and I've talked to him about the special a lot.
Does he get annoyed with it the way Attell gets annoyed when you bring up Skanks for the Memories?
I don't think so.
I've talked to Attell about Skanks for the Memories, and a couple times he's like, okay.
Yeah.
And you're like, I just really love when you did this joke on it.
Yeah.
Being a comic that's also a comedy nerd can be dangerous for the hang.
It's very dangerous for the hang. Thankfully, I've had good comedians like break that to me gently.
Who did it?
List is one of them.
What do you say to you?
I would be Fanny.
List said that to you?
I would be Fanny to List. And he goes, hey, we're friends. He's like, because I'd be like, hey, thanks for I'd like thank him for hanging with me. Well, I'm like, you know, because I'm.
Thanks for hanging out with me. And List is like, List Joe, like, just go to one of these. What?
Yeah.
A classic Joe List. What?
I've never seen anyone do that face but him, so that was beautiful.
I've been, he's just done it to me so much.
No, I.
Where you'll say something to Joe, I go, what? And then you go, fuck.
Yeah.
That's how you know you're in trouble with List. You go, oh no, did I say something I shouldn't have said?
Yeah.
What?
We were in Vermont, and I hung out with him and Sarah.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey guys, thanks for hanging, and Joe goes, we're friends, you gotta stop doing that.
Yeah, that's great.
And I'm like, oh,
it's a good way of saying that.
Yeah. And it was like, oh, okay, the balance of, because I'm never trying to be like me by complimenting you.
Sure.
I'm never complimenting a comic for them to like me.
Sure.
I want,
which a lot of comics do,
100%,
which people do in every business.
Yes,
there's people in every line of work where they're sucking ass to get ahead instead of being 100% sincere.
And as someone that doesn't get complimented a lot, I can tell the difference. but it's always just because I'm a huge fan of the game.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I want you to know I see what you're doing and I'm a fan of it.
Yeah.
But then you do have to know the levels.
Colin Quinn helped me tame mine.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I was opening for him in, I think it was Binghamton, New York. We were long drive. And we got into the car and he goes, I don't want to hear any of your stupid fucking comedy questions. I'm working on these bits. It was when he was working on Unconstitutional.
Whoa. Which is a
fantastic hour.
Yeah.
Very appropriate now.
Yeah.
But he's going through his notes. He's literally talking about the Constitution. And I asked a couple questions already. And we get in the car and he goes, I don't want to hear any of your comedy questions. I got to fucking learn this stupid fucking document. You know, just being Colin. And then I remember exactly the motion. We were 2 hours into the drive and he has his legal pad and he just throws it onto the dash and he goes, all right, what do you want to know? And I was okay, you started with Chris Rock and Adam Sandler, 1984. What was that like? And then he slowly through the conversation was kind of don't do this. Be a fan of comedy, but don't be too big of a fan of comedy.
Yep.
He did it in a very polite, awesome Colin way of doing it, but he said something that'll always stick with me. He was like, your generation's doomed. You guys know everything that happened, so you're comparing yourselves against every joke because you've known every joke that's been written, so you're not letting yourself get there organically.
Right.
You're stopping yourself because Seinfeld did a similar bit in 1985 that you should not know exists.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, fuck. And when he said that to me, I was very sobering.
Yeah.
To be maybe I am gripped too tight on this.
100%. I feel I'm a victim of it. We're all victims of it, of this hustle, comedy's everything mentality where it's well, that's actually hurting me.
Yeah.
It's
holding you back.
Yeah. It's holding me back by not absorbing everything else that isn't comedy in order to make comedy.
To turn it into comedy.
Yeah.
It is Jesse Spano on caffeine pills.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so scared. And then you go, that's what comedy is. You just you get to do it.
Exactly.
But you have a phenomenal special out now on YouTube.
Yes.
Watch it. We'll put the link below in the description. Follow Steven. He's fucking hilarious. And that's not just me saying it. Joe List says that. All the comics that I love Steven. Check out his new hour special directed by Homeless Pimp. So it's an in-house. It's all on the same team, baby.
That's right.
So check it out. Steven Rogers, you're fucking hilarious. Thanks. Thank you for coming
Thank
by.
Thank you for having me.
And I hope you find a lady in real life, not on those dastardly apps.
DM me, ladies.
He's got a big schwanz. Do it. His ex even said it.